In today's Bible reading, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." You're salty. So, you're the one who's bloating the earth, raising the earth's blood pressure, putting the earth at greater risk of stroke or cardiovascular disease, adding to cardiac enlargement risk, possibly adding to the earth's problem with ulcers, heartburn, osteoporosis, and maybe even stomach cancer. So we need less of you in our lives. Right. Or maybe you're the cranky ones who can do nothing but grumble and complain using salty attitudes. You're out there saying, "Get off my lawn!" to anyone who you fear. No? Not you? Or maybe you're the ones that keep the roads safer, yet you're an environmental corrosive. Yes, of course, that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "You're salts of the earth." No, perhaps, just perhaps, Jesus meant to say that we're the ones who strengthen the earth's flavor, preserve the earth's foods, seal the earth's covenants, and even signify wisdom. So in that, stay salty, my friends. Kidding aside, Jesus didn't mean that people are supposed to act crabby and afraid. What did he mean? Yeah, he meant something better than that, right? Because the fear and the demonization of the other is what Jesus worked against, not for. And Jesus didn't mean that you're the stuff that is necessary to melt the snow and ice from the streets, sidewalks, parking lots, and driveways, right? He didn't. Yes. Go ahead, ask. He does say that. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Pile that salt on. The roads have been horrendous in the last couple of months, here and there. It's going to snow today. Oof. All over the state and the Midwestern states, the streets and sanitation people, they use a mixture of what? Salt, brine, liquid calcium, beet juice, really, they use beet juice, right? Cheese brine, well, eat the streets, right? No. Along with rock salt and calcium chloride, with anti-corrosive elements added to try and lessen the use of the negative impact. So more salt, be salty, or be salt-like solution. Be beet juice in the world. No, Jesus didn't say all that, but he did say, and without all of the fun attached to it, "You are the salt of the earth. Stay salty, stay tasty. Keep being a force for good in the world." And then Jesus also said, in addition to "do not be afraid" in this sermon, right after he gave the Beatitudes, which when he talks about the commandments, that's what he just said. The Beatitudes are the commandments that he is giving to these people, to the people. He also says, "You are the light of the world, a light that illuminates the darkness, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace," so to speak. Like, being the light of the world is like being in solidarity with one another across borders, across religion, across ethnicity, across everything. Being in community and engaging in dialogue and activities that bring folks together instead of dividing folks. That's what being the light of the world is. That's what being salt of the earth is. So let that light shine. Show love. Don't hide it under a bushel. No! Thanks for singing that today. Don't try to turn it off. Find a way to do good. And let others see the good that you do. That sounds like stuff with the scouts, doesn't it? Do good and let others see the good. Be prepared. Do a good turn daily. Here's the last part of the reading today. Jesus said, "I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Finally, the Pharisees have something to cheer about. Jesus is going to help us enforce things. No more of this namby-pamby stuff where people don't have to follow the rules. We have followed the rules faithfully and have told everyone else how to obey them. Now Jesus is going to help us, says the leaders. Well, I don't mean the scout leaders. I mean the Pharisees, but by extension, if any of us is a Pharisee today, yeah, it's me, right? Church leader. Jesus wasn't here to please the Pharisees. He wasn't here to enforce the law. He was here to fulfill it. He was here to go beyond the law. He was here to look at what the law intended and to do instead what it intended, I guess, instead of how it could be interpreted into something that made life more difficult. Because the law is not intended to make life more difficult. It's intended to make life more fulfilling. Jesus fulfills the law by reminding the people, you are salt and you are light. Go and do what salt and light do. You are the ones I'm here for. I want you to understand the law. I want you to live it at its most basic level, love. I'm here to restore what the law is really about. And one of the greatest things that Jesus does in restoring the law is that he goes beyond it. That's what he does. Jesus gives good news to all the people. The Pharisees are calling for law and order, and Jesus calls for love. Jesus offers grace. Grace. Grace is wonderful. Grace means that when you make a mistake, you're still salt and light. Grace says that when you fail, you're still salt and light. Grace says that no matter what you've done or what you'll do, you're still salt and light. And grace makes the ones who fail, okay, all of us, grace makes the ones who fail celebrate. Also, grace makes the one who like to point out others' failure seethe. How dare they get grace? That's the Pharisees. No, they have to follow the law just like I do, except behind closed doors, said the Pharisees. Grace says also that there's really nothing that you can do to be salt and light. And there's nothing you can do to not be salt and light. You just are salt and light. So that always brings up a question. And every lawyer and every teenager asks the same question, probably. Should we try to be the worst we can because of grace? Because if it's grace, we get to do whatever we want and we're still salt and light, right? That's the nth degree. We can be the worst and God still loves us. We can make the most mistakes. We can be the champions of mistakes and God still loves us. I guess that means we could be awful to one another and God still loves us. Romans 6:1 says this, but shall we say then, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Also, Martin Luther did say this too. You know who Martin Luther is? Lutheran guy, right? Yeah. I mean, he invented Lutheranism, although it came after him. He was like, no, do not name this after me. And they were like, we're doing it anyway. Yeah. All right, fine. Martin Luther did say, sin boldly, so that grace may abound? But there's more context. He said, be a sinner and let your sins be strong. Sin boldly. But let your trust in Christ be stronger. And rejoice in Christ who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. So we're not encouraged to sin as much as possible. We acknowledge that we all make mistakes. And God does give us more chances after we've made those mistakes. But that's not the goal. The end goal is not to do the worst and God's like, yeah, good job. No, it's our goal is to reflect this salt and light, this love, to live out things like the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, to live out things like the pledge to the Christian flag, to live out things like the vision that St. Paul's has identified for St. Paul's United Church of Christ, God's vision for that, which is a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, and a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. That's what we're called to do. We're supposed to remember that we're salt and light and that we can do good. So let's remember that Jesus brings good news and grace. Let's remember that Jesus didn't come to enforce the law, but to fulfill it, to bring restoration. And let's continue together to work for good, to be in solidarity with the oppressed, the persecuted, the marginalized, and the forgotten. So we are salt and light to live, to love, to work, to be a people who restore. Amen.